evening, councillors. Good evening, staff, and good evening to our residents in the audience. Welcome to this council meeting number 22 on the 9th of October 2017, the time being 5:30. I'd like to remind all persons in attendance that it is council policy to record council meetings. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on council's website. In accordance with the council policy, I'll ask the general manager to confirm that the audio recording has been commenced.
Confirmed.
And that's confirmed. At this stage, I would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners and the continuing custodians on the land in which we gather today, and to acknowledge elders past and present. In attendance tonight is myself, Councillor Wass, Deputy Mayor, Councillor Reek, Councillor Atkinson, Councillor Berry, Councillor Fox, Councillor Chatterton, Councillor Percy, Councillor Bastone and Councillor Winter. From staff, we have our General Manager, Mr Arnold, our Deputy General Manager, Mr Ferrier, our Executive Manager, Organisational Development, Ms Hughes, our Executive Manager, Engineering Services, Mr Reeve, our Manager, Governance and Property Services, Mr Smee, our Acting Manager, Development Services, Mrs Stevenson, our Acting Manager, Environmental Services, Ms Quinn, our Natural Areas Interpretation Officer, Ms Dupe, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. We have one apology tonight, that's Councillor Grace on leave of absence. We're on page two, councillors, and the first item is confirmation of minutes of the council meeting held, number 21, held on the 25th of September 2017. Have a mover in Councillor Fox and seconder in Councillor Percy that the minutes of council meeting 21 held on the 25th of September 2017 be confirmed. I'll put that to the vote. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. Workshops held since the council meeting on the 25th of September. There was one on the 2nd of October. A new policy regarding clearing bushfire hazards on council-owned land. Next item is declarations of interest. I ask councillors if there's any declarations, if you would please declare those now. Councillor Percy?
Page 55, DA 2015-17. My immediate family are developers, so I will leave the room for the discussion.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. Transfer of agenda items. Councillor Winter?
Yes, I'd like to consider the... item 65, Roslyn Avenue, Kingston Beach, in open session.
Page?
It's on the closed agenda, but it's the first item within the closed agenda.
If you wish to move that, I'll test whether there's a seconder. Councillor Percy? I'd like to speak to your reasons, Councillor Winter.
I've read, obviously I can't discuss what the contents are in open session because in closed session, but I'm just reading it. I'm not convinced that the reasons for dealing within closed sessions are clear enough or are worthy of being dealt with in closed session. There's nothing in there that's secret or that in my view is particularly worthy, as I said, but the appearance of putting this in closed session looks like it is. That's my main concern, as it often is with these things. I just think when it comes down to, yes, it may be safer to deal with these things in closed session, but when it comes down to it, sometimes there are trade-offs between transparency and being absolutely risk-averse, and my view is that, having read it, I think that there would be very little to stop us from dealing with in open session and letting those affected hear the discussion. It's pretty... I really couldn't get my head around the reasons for this being in closed session.
Thank you, Councillor Winter. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I sympathise with what Councillor Winter's saying. At 3.1 in the report, it says it's being dealt with in closed session because there's information that was provided on the condition that's kept confidential, and so I'd be interested in the General Manager's what he has to say about that, please.
Mr Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, Councillor Atkinson, that information has been provided by Council's legal expert, lawyer on planning matters, and that is the main reason that that report is placed in the confidential section of the agenda.
So just to be absolutely clear, you're saying that information has been provided to us on the condition that's kept confidential, is that correct?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, Councillor Atkinson and councillors, that is correct.
Thank you.
Further discussion, councillors? Councillor Winter, I'll give you a right of reply because I think he spoke against you.
Of course, I can't really because it's in closed session. So, you know, even what Councillor Atkinson said with respect, you've actually just read from the closed report into open session. So, with respect, I'm slightly critical of even that being said. So, you know, how do I respond to something which is listed for closed session? So, I'm happy to have the further debate in closed session, but I just want to put on the record there's really nothing in here that's groundbreaking, and I think some people may be concerned that, that there's something particularly interesting or secret about it. There's really nothing in there.
Thank you.
But I accept the advice.
Thank you, Councillor Winter. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Winter, seconded by Councillor Percy, that the item referred to be moved from closed to open session. Those in favour, please say aye. Looks like we're having a display of hands, so that's okay. Those against? And I'll have a division now then. I was going to do the division through it. We've got one, Councillor Winter, and opposing. Councillors Bastone, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson, Reid and Was. Motion lost. Guidelines for public question time we have, so we'll roll on to page 3. Questions on notice from the public. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no questions on notice from the public. Next item is questions without notice from the public. Are there any questions without notice from the public? There are none, thank you. On page 4, questions on notice from councillors. Some items here listed, 1967 bushfire commemoration from Councillor Grace and a response from Ms. Alderfox. Kingston Beach pedestrian crossing from Councillor Winter and a response from Mr. Reeve. Kingston Beach Sailing Club car park question from Councillor Winter and a response from Mr. Reeve. And from Councillor Berry, recycled plastic with a response also from Mr. Reeve. Questions without notice from councillors. Are there any questions without notice? Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. There was a report in the Mercury newspaper a week or so ago, I can't remember the date, about the Kingston Health Centre funding going to a committee or something. I just wondered if the General Manager had any information about whether that funding was in doubt.
Thank you. Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Atkinson, not that I'm aware of personally, however, I am aware that state government bureaucrats did correspond with the Deputy General Manager, Mr. Ferrier, regarding the matter that was reported in the Mercury, and Mr. Ferrier may want to expand on my answer.
Mr. Ferrier.
Through the Chair, in response to the councillor's question, my understanding is the funding is not in doubt. What's required within government is that the project needs to be assessed before the money is spent, and they review the work that's been done in regard to the design and the construction scheduling and how the project is to be managed. It's not a budgetary question, it's more about the actual project management, and that's what's been happening in recent weeks, and we're expecting well, we've certainly received the development application for the project, and we're expecting them to schedule the construction early next year.
Thank you. Councillor Berry.
Thank you, Mayor. I've got two questions. I only had one until a few minutes ago. But first one, there was some publicity in the paper about General Manager's credit card expenses. And I wondered, would the General Manager be able to provide some information as to the sort of detail? It was suggested that we were kind of top of the shopping list, as it were, would the general manager be happy to provide, for the benefit of the public, some sort of breakdown of those expenses? Thank you.
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Berry, thank you for the question, because I am happy to place on the public record those matters that may be of public interest that were perhaps included in the Mercury article, which in relation to the Kimberley Council was indeed accurate. I'd like to start by saying that all expenses on my credit card for that period of request from the Mercury, in which was the previous financial year, were in accordance with the Council credit card policy. Councillors would be aware that under that policy, all of my expenses are not only checked to make sure that they are in accordance with that policy by the Chief Financial Officer, who actually signs off on my monthly statements, I'm also required to provide and do receipts for any expenditure item. In addition to having the credit card details signed off on a monthly basis by the Chief Financial Officer in accordance with the policy, they are also counter-checked and counter-signed by the Mayor. And in relation to the particular article in the Mercury that Councillor Berry refers to, the reporter did mention that there were a number of transactions recorded on my credit card that related to expenditure relating to day-to-day business activities of the organisation that included registration at conferences interstate by other members of staff and the appropriate travel and in some cases accommodation. But because Councillor Berry's asked the question and I'm happy to place it on the public record, I'll take the remainder of the question on notice and make sure that I provide a detailed response that'll be on the agenda for the next item. Next, Councillor May. Thank you.
Councillor Berry?
Thank you, Mayor. My next question relates to the issue about pulling agenda items out of the closed session. I'm getting a little bit confused about this. I mean, I think perhaps the general manager can ask the question, are there any items, because in general terms I'm in favour of looking at the items and deciding which actually should come out, I'm in favour of transparency. Will the general manager say, does the legislation say that any item can actually be removed from the closed session into the open part of the council meeting, or are there any specific restrictions?
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Berry, to begin answering your question, I'll draw Council's attention to Section 8, Part 4 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, which state in part that the business of a meeting is to be conducted in the order in which it is set out in the agenda of the meeting, unless the Council by absolute majority determines otherwise. Had Councillor Winter's motion earlier this evening been successful, then I can, on the face of it, see no impediment other than the reason given in answer to Councillor Atkinson. But I hope that answers your question. It's certainly allowable in the meeting procedure regulations, provided it is a decision of the Council by absolute majority.
We'll move on to page 6. Motions of which notice has been given. One there from Councillor Berry in the smoke-free areas, and Councillor Berry formally moves that motion. Do I have a second? Councillor Chatterton. Councillor Berry?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I don't propose to speak at any length whatsoever on this. We are in the process of just embarking on development of Kingston Park. I thought it was an opportunity to have some clarity as to the no smoking zones, that we would have a legal head to actually encompass the parts that we actually own. So my motion just asks for a report on that to see if the proposal is a feasible one. I hope it is, and if it's achievable. So I'll be interested to hear what other councillors may have to say.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Further debate, councillors? I'll put that recommendation to the vote. Moved by Councillor Berry, seconded by Councillor Chadden. That staff prepare a report on options for declaring no smoking zones on all council-owned land property in the proposed development known as Kingston Park. This to include detail on the head of power, communication processes, the requirement or otherwise for the involvement of other tiers of government, any other relevant matters and possible obstacles. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? It's carried unanimously. We'll move on to page 7. Petition still being actioned. There were no petitions still being actioned. Petitions received in the last period. At the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received. The open session of council will now adjourn and the planning authority meeting will commence at 5:47. I remind councillors that we are now sitting as a planning authority. The first item is an officer's report on delegated authority for the period the 30th of August 2017 to the 26th of September 2017 and a recommendation on page 10. Thank you, Councillor Chatterton, and thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Are there any questions, comments, councillors? Councillor Atkinson?
I just had a question about on page... have a look, page 10... DAS 2014-13, it says amendment to delete items 5 and 6 of the TAS water conditions referencing condition 16 of the permit, and I just wondered if there was any more information staff could provide as to what that meant.
I'll ask Mrs Stevenson to respond if she's aware of the answer to your question. Mrs Stevenson.
Yes, through you, Mr Mayor. Yes, the conditions relate to the deletion of the items in the Taswater conditions relating to headworks charges. You may be aware that there is a policy that Taswater have now with regards to their headworks, and applicants can make application to Taswater to have those headworks charges deleted on old permits, and that's what this one was in relation to. So the two clauses that were deleted with the headworks charges for sewer and water charges.
Thank you. The other was just about the development applications representations received. There's three items there. So are they ones that have... I got confused. Are they ones that have gone through under delegation, or are they ones...
Mr Stevenson, would you clarify, please?
Through you, Mr Mayor. Yes, they're ones where we received a representation. The applicant was requested to agree to an extension of time to enable it to come to a council meeting, but they refused the extension of time, and we didn't have time to bring it to a meeting, so in accordance with the council delegations, they were dealt with by the manager under delegation. Councillors were emailed the details of those decisions as well.
Yeah. No, thank you. I mean, it just seems to be still an issue that these ones are coming through under delegation and we're not getting them to meetings. I don't know how we resolve that. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't think we can resolve it because of that 14-day break. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Atkinson, the report be noted. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It's carried unanimously. First item on page 11 is development application for subdivision of three lots and balance at 67 Cleburne Street, Kingston, for PCL Hodgman, and there is a recommendation on page 25. Thank you, Councillor Percy. Thank you, Councillor Chatterton. Councillor Percy.
Thank you, Mayor. I think for the past 40 years I've been walking past this property, and it's a bit of an oasis in the middle of Kingston. It's got so much history. And a reflection on what Kingston used to be like at the beginning. I think it's a very good and responsible approach to the heritage value of this property. As it says under 2.3 strategic planning, it's the titles seven times the size of the minimum lot size in the general residential zone. So that's a very responsible attitude there. Also, it's gone to the Heritage Tasmania to be determined that the proposed subdivision does not impact on the values that have been documented as part of the state heritage listing and therefore issued an exemption certificate, which I think is good as well. Also, as far as the views, I think that was one of the representations that they worry about the views. The Cleburne Street views will remain completely unaffected by the proposal. And the historic heritage values and significance of the dwelling, which is Sunnyside, will not be detrimentally impacted by the proposal and remain on a little over seven times the minimum lot size, as I said before, for general residential zone. So for that reason, I have moved this. Being successful. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Chatterley?
Yeah, look, I think this is a good outcome for this piece of land in question because, I mean, there are two lots there at the moment, and the lot, one lot in front of the Sunnyside Cottage, which someone could build a dwelling on and could block the view, as quite rightly mentioned by Councillor Percy. So by having the two, by changing the boundaries and having two lots up the side, it does open it up and mean that nothing can be built in front of that heritage listed property, and I mean it's paying part of the original land grant up there for many years, and it's been well looked up, well looked upon as part of the heritage of Kingston area. So I think this is a great outcome that in future nobody can build in front of it. So I think that's a huge, huge plus for the subdivision.
Thank you. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. When I originally read this, I had some concerns about the lot sizes on page 16 because it talked about lot 1 being 1,220 square metres, so 22% larger than the maximum lot size. I had quite an extensive conversation with Ms Stevenson about this, and I guess I just want to give her an opportunity in 1 second to put on the record why I'm no longer concerned about that. Because it seemed to me that the justification in the report didn't meet the performance criteria, but she's explained further. The other thing that I asked her about was what opportunity there is. I know that we're putting conditions there to place a covenant on the balance lot to restrict any further subdivision or prevent any further subdivision, but I just wanted clarification on whether subdivision was possible on the other lots and whether multi-unit development was possible on the other lots. So perhaps Ms Stevenson could answer those, please.
Mrs Stevenson.
Through you, Mr Mayor. Yes, in relation to the first matter, which is the lot sizes, on the surface of it, lot 1 appears to be over the maximum lot size. However, the planning scheme provisions for maximum lot size exclude the area contained within the fee simple access strip. So the fee simple access strip for lot 1 is 6.1 metres wide by 49 metres long. When you multiply that area and then take that area off the total, it brings the maximum lot size back down to under the 1,000 square metres, which is the maximum lot size in that zone. So lot 1 is compliant. Lot 2 technically is over, however it's only 10 square metres over, so it's not a significant size difference there. In relation to the second question regarding the potential future subdivision and or multiple dwelling development on lots 1 and 2, lot 1 would be restricted in terms of future subdivision because of the lack of frontage to that lot. So the frontage of 6.1 metres is not sufficient to subdivide further. You require a minimum of 3.6 metres frontage for each lot that was created, so you'd need a minimum of 7.2. Whilst there might be theoretically some possibilities of gaining additional land and things, it's quite problematic. So in essence, it's unlikely that further subdivision would occur. Multiple dwellings could certainly occur potentially on that land. The access width is wide enough for that, and the lot area is wide enough, is large enough for additional multiple dwellings.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Percy, seconded by Councillor Chatterton, that the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received and that the development application for subdivision of three lots and balance at 67 Cleburne Street, Kingston for PCL Hodgman be approved subject to the following conditions. And as you can see from your agenda, there are 15 conditions attached. I'll ask councillors to vote. Those in favour, please say aye. Those against, it's carried unanimously. The next item is development application for subdivision of two lots into four lots at 10 Sandalwood Court, 108 Old Station Road and 22 Cherrywood Road, Lower Snug, for Lark and Crease. And there is a recommendation on page 45. I have a mover in Councillor Chadden and a second in Councillor Berry. Councillor Chadden, would you like to...
I don't think I have anything else to add apart from the report. I mean, I've read the report thoroughly and I've looked at the plans, on particularly on pages 53 and 54, which describe it quite clearly and why they need the right of drainage going down onto Cherrywood. I have no problem with the way it's set out. I think it's excellent.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Any councillor wish to... I'm just looking at that. No, it's an extra. Just making sure you're right there, Mike. It's the next item, I understand, isn't it? No, the next item. Yeah. No, I got to ask that question. I was just looking. All right, in the absence of further speakers, I'll put the recommendation. Moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Berry, that the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Service be received, and that the development application for subdivision of two lots into four lots at 10 Sandalwood Court, 108 Old Station Road and 22 Cherrywood Road, Lower Snug, for Lark and Crease be approved subject to the following conditions. And as you can see, councillors, there are 19 conditions. I'll ask you to vote. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? Is carried unanimously. The next item is a development application for subdivision of three lots and associated access and infrastructure works at 78 Beach Road and Auburn Road and Beach Road Road Reservations, Kingston Beach, for PDA surveyors. And Councillor Percy has left the meeting at 5:57. And there is a recommendation, councillors, on page 69. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Fox, would you like to open
the vote? Yeah, my only concern is relating to the removal of the trees, and I have read that there are 15 trees on the site, and seven of those are to be retained and eight are to be taken out. And I find it an interesting comment that they say that even though they've got swift parrots in them, that they don't constitute a vegetation community. And I find that quite a disturbing comment, particularly at the rate of are losing the swift parrots, and I would have thought any one tree was a vegetation community in this circumstance, and perhaps I could get some further advice from staff on that issue.
Certainly. I'm wondering whether Ms. Quinn or Ms. Jupe might like to respond. Ms. Quinn's won the battle, I think. No.
Three, Mr. Mayor, to save the staff who don't know anything about the application, I will attempt to answer it for you. My understanding is that for it to constitute a community, it needs to be more than just individual trees. It requires understory and a number of other factors which would make it a community for it to trigger the requirements under the planning scheme to constitute a community. In this case, there was an assessment done that was submitted in support of the application by a relevant ecologist which identified that it wasn't a community, and a number of the trees, and they are listed in detail in the report, do meet the criteria of trees of high conservation value, and those individual trees are the ones that are being, some of them are being retained, but the ones that have to be removed are being offset for the loss of those trees.
Thank you, Mrs. Stevens. Answers your questions, Councillor Fox?
Yes, I can understand the rationale there. I mean, it's so technical, but I just find it really sad that nine high conservation trees out of those five are to be removed. And I know that offsets are something that we have accepted as a council, but I personally think it's sort of morally bankrupt doing this. So, just for the record.
Thank you. Councillor Chatterton?
Yeah, I just got a question that Ms Stevenson may be able to answer for me. In the removal of existing right-of-way C, which is on page 68, and it was part of the representations, there was a concern about removing right-of-ways. I'm just trying to marry those up with the plans that are sitting on pages 80, 81, 82. I just found it very hard to work that out. I wonder if Ms Stevenson could just explain, just clarify that for me, please.
Mr Stevenson?
Through you, Mr Mayor. Yes, I probably should have put a copy of the title in, might have made it a bit easier for you. So the right-of-ways, if you can, looking at the plan on page 80, the where lot 3 is, you've got a right-of-way that goes along the southwestern boundary of lot 3 on the adjoining property, where you can see it says FR 105980/3, just where that grey building is to the south there. So along that boundary there's a right of way, and that goes from the edge of the property, the representor's property, and it goes along the back of that property, and that's the right-of-way AB. You can see the A and the B in brackets. The second right-of-way is the right-of-way BC, which starting at that point where the letter B is and heading north-east down the boundary of lot 3 and through the middle of lot 1 to Beach Road where the letter C is, that's the right-of-way BC. Those two right-of-ways are actually in favour of a portion of, so prior to the title existing as it does now, part of that lot was a separate title which had the right over those two rights-of-ways. So that right-of-way BC used to exist in part of a separate title. So the portion of the previous lot that benefited from that right currently still benefits from that right, although that right-of-way now actually forms part of the same title. Does that make sense? It's a bit confusing. So essentially, part of that lot as it exists now has a right-of-way over its own land, so therefore it's not necessary anymore. And the one along the adjoining property at the back is not relevant either, because it doesn't actually provide them with any access anyway.
So if I may, through you, Mayor, the existing right-of-ways, taking those and changing them has no adverse effect on the neighbours, and as I understand what you're saying, and secondly, although those right-of-ways are there and people may have used them, they're not being disadvantaged with this change?
Mr Stevenson.
Through you, Mr Mayor. The only people who have the right to use those are the people who own the land that formed part of the previous lot, which is currently now part of the current title. So there are no other parties that are benefited by those rights of way, so they have no legal right to use them.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Atkinson?
I just want to follow up on the point raised by Councillor Fox about the Swiss Swift Parrot habitat. And although I'm aware that the NRM staff aren't familiar with this particular application, I'd be interested in their comment in general about the benefit of offset against the benefit of, benefit of keeping existing trees. If they could provide a general comment on that, I'd appreciate it.
Point of order, Mayor. This appears to be irrelevant from the... We're dealing with a planning matter. Mm-hmm. This is a...
It's been raised in the debate already, so...
Well, this is surely out of order, Mayor.
I tend to agree with you, Councillor. Right. I think we have something in front of us, and this is this next step, so thank you for that. Councillors, further debate? I'll then put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Reid, that the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Service be received, and that the development application for subdivision of 3 lots at 78 Beach Road and associated access and infrastructure works in the Auburn Road and Beach Road road reservations at 78 Beach Road and Auburn Road and Beach Road reservations Kingston Beach for PDA surveyors be approved subject to the following conditions. And as you can see, councillors, there are 21 conditions to this recommendation. I'll put that to the vote. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It is carried unanimously. It's 6 minutes. It's 6:05 p.m. and Councillor Percy has returned to the meeting. The open session of Council now will resume at 6:05. The first item is an officer's report on Bruny Island Livability Study, and there is a recommendation on page 92. I have a mover in Councillor Percy and a seconder in Councillor Berry. Councillor Percy.
Yeah, no, I certainly recommend this. This has been raised a few times at the bike meetings. At the moment, over in Bruny, we do actually spend more than per capita than we do anywhere else in Kimberley Municipality. But I think it's important that just about every time I go over there, the locals are saying that there's too much tourism down there, and the infrastructure's not sufficient. So I think this really is a good study to find out exactly where Bruny Island needs to be focusing in the next few years. So it's a good strategic plan. So I suppose it needs to be a commitment to the outcome, as long as it's reasonably enforceable, doable, and within the financial constraints of council budgets, and needs commitment from all stakeholders. Example, the state government. Also, we need to get the wheels moving on this one. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillor Winter.
Yes, this is a good idea, I think, and it's good to see the involvement by the Premier in this as well, writing to you, Mayor, and the joint approach to dealing with what have been, in an overall sense, what have been individual issues that have been raised with us, at least in my 3 years here on Council, and I'm sure for a lot longer than that. I was going to make the comment in reading the first part of it that, reading all the plans that we'd done, but that not much had happened. But then I read the point 2.4, and it really summarised what I had kind of. When you piece together all of the work that council has actually done in the infrastructure sense on the island over the last period of time, it has been quite significant. And as Councillor Percy alludes to, this council has spent proportionally a very large amount of its capital works budget on the island, and certainly it's spending a lot more money on the island than it's reaping in rates. And it raises an interesting question about the capability of local government to deal with tourism hotspots around Tasmania, and I'm sure they deal with this in the east coast and probably in an inflated way what we deal with at Bruny Island, and makes it very difficult for us to provide for the infrastructure that our community needs whilst trying to feed and support a tourism boom, which has been articulated in the I'm not sure if it's in this report or the following one about the I think it's in the following report, sorry, but a large number of increase in tourists that are actually coming to the island. So I think this is a good plan. It does add to the list of reports, but it's good to see that we are following up these reports and we're doing the consultation with some action. So I think this is a very good way forward, and I support it.
Thank you, Councillor Whelan. Councillor Berry.
Thank you, Mayor. I agree with what's been said. I think it's an important study. I think we had a notice of motion from BIAC that I think we noted at the last meeting, but there is need. I was really amazed with the visitor numbers that have actually doubled, I think, since 2011, gone up from 65,000 to over 110,000. It's quite a remarkable increase in numbers. It's a bit like, someone selling widgets or on the side of the road, and suddenly they're selling a million widgets instead of you know, 1,000, and it causes all sorts of problems. So I think a community plan or a livability study, which I must confess I don't like the name of, I think this is really important.
Councillor Chadden?
Following on from where Councillor Winter was returning, that actually goes back to when we used to be part of the Sea Change and Coastal Council's body, and highlighting exactly what Councillor Winter is saying. The stress is on the coastal councils for infrastructure with people with sea change, and that's part of the problem. And also, we note from Bruny Island, it's a destination for business, and business is growing on the island in production, and there's a number of new businesses opening all the time on Bruny Island. So it's not just a place where people can go with a shack or a caravan or go for the main tourism venture of being Mr. Pennicott's wilderness tours, but of course we've got the cheese factories and the oysters and all the other things that are happening on that island, and there's more and more things are happening all the time which are attracting tourists as well. So it's an area which you know, in the old tourism way of looking at things, when we had the Huon Trail, it was sort of left off to the side, and Bruny Island was an area that always had its own brochure, and it was struggling. But Bruny Island is maturing and growing, particularly as a tourist destination, but as also, as I say, for people now manufacturing, whether it be in small businesses on the island, and producing things from the natural things that occur on the island. So it's a credit to this municipality to have this icon, and I think we've got to appreciate that they've got an icon, and we don't want to ruin that icon, and this is going to help us look after that icon that we so desperately need on in our municipality.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Yes, I'd like to just add that I'm pretty excited about this. I think it's a great opportunity. The community and various parts of the community organisations on Bruny, I think for well over the last 12 months have been calling for something along these lines, and I think to do this, I think one, they can be relieved that we are obviously prepared to do this study which they've been calling for, particularly with the state government coming on board with it. And I think that's the other part there, that we've been able to work out where we can get the funds from, which is good. The other aspect, of course, is that Bruny Island has become probably the icon of southern Tasmania. It's where people go. We need to capture any tourists in our area, and certainly that includes the Huon Valley area, for tourism in southern Tasmania. In 5 years, I think the number of visitors internationally in the state have doubled. In fact, they've over doubled. And the length of stays, the number of nights, is also increasing. So that does create a demand and a real impact on the community, and I think this study has the opportunity to build on the previous studies that we've done, and I think most importantly both for council and for the community on Bruny Island to plan for their future. So I certainly will support the recommendation. Are there any further speakers? If not, we haven't had a speaker again, so I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Percy, seconded by Councillor Berry, that Council A agree to match the state government's offer to fund the preparation of a Bruny Island livability study. B, agree to the expenditure of up to $20,000 on this project, with these funds to be sourced from council's existing consultancy services, $15,000, and community consultation, $5,000 budgets. And C, delegate to the general manager the selection of a preferred consultant to undertake the Bruny Island livability study. Councillors, I'll ask you to vote. Those in favour, please say aye. Those against, just carried unanimously. The next item is a tourist update on page 95. Thank you, Councillor Percy. I'll find the page here where the recommendation is on page 99. Do I have a second to Councillor Fox? Councillor Percy.
Yeah, I'd certainly like to thank Mr. Ferrier for the amount of work that he puts into this the tourism side of for the council, and that included the Bruny Island tourism strategy. And I'd certainly move that this current tourism related projects for Kimber be noted. Thank you. Accepted.
Thank you. Further debate? Councillor Fox.
I need to point out that there's only 150,000 available on Bruny Island in their public open space account, and 50 of that is to be put into this project, which is a large amount of money for infrastructure, basically. We're not buying land here, but at the same time, I can see that the infrastructure is needed. We need some better signage and paths and interpretation signs and so on. And we are getting support from Pennicott and the state government. So I guess the money's got to come from somewhere because it's not been budgeted for. But I think it's a shame that it's coming out of the public open space account. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Any further speakers? Councillor Chadden?
Yeah, I just wanted to allude to the newsletter we got about a fortnight ago from the LG TAS September newsletter, where it touched on tourism. And it did say there Tasmanian Council spend on tourism is among the lowest. However, on a per head basis, Tasmanian Councils are spending towards the upper level. And in saying that, Tasmanian Councils throughout, spend about $11 million on tourism, but per head of population in Tasmania we're spending about $20. The upper figure is 22 in Northern Territory and Western Australia, and as low as $10 per head in Victoria. But I think we've seen that this money is well spent, and what we've done, we've worked very hard with tourism this council has over a number of years, and a few of us have been involved in various tourism activities representing council over those years, and I think we're still heading in the right direction. And as I said before, to have that jewel in our crown to be Bruny Island in particular, and the other things that are happening within the municipality and tourism, it only looks good to the future, and I totally endorse the report of Mr Ferrier.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Unless there's any further councillors wish to add anything, I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Percy, seconded by Councillor Fox, that Council notes this report on current tourism-related projects within Kingborough. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It's carried unanimously. The next item is on page 100, the fire hazards abatement policy, and there is a recommendation on page 101. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Fox?
I think it's interesting that previously there's only been a fire abatement policy for vacant land, and now they're trying to include residential land, and it's very important, and I think it's a good move. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Winter?
The report doesn't list any financial...
Implications?
Ramification, yeah. There are no financial implications, they went with. But it also lists the risks as being that we're going to have a... Thank you, Amanda. Laughing at me. Fairly as well, I should say. It also mentions, though, that this is going to create a lot more work, which to me could be more costly. Is someone able to comment on that, on whether what those risks might be and whether there might be any financial implications on?
I'll ask Mr. Smee if he's able to comment. Mr. Smee?
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. As Councillor Fox has picked up on, this is a relaxation of our existing policy, and will mean that we will be responding to potentially a far greater number of complaints from the public in relation to potential fire hazards. As the report says, the risk is that this will be a workload issue. Certainly for the foreseeable future, it will be part of the workload of our existing compliance team, and then it becomes a matter of prioritisation, and given the fact that the bushfire risk in our municipal area is our greatest potential emergency management issue, it's probably appropriate that we invest our staff resources over the summer period to this matter. Because we haven't been responding to fire hazard abatement in rural areas in recent years, the extent to which the additional workload is somewhat of an unknown, but we have highlighted in this report as a potential risk. But certainly for the foreseeable future, it's not one that's going to create any additional financial cost. It will be taken up within our existing staff resources. And part of the process is one of cost recovery in relation to, if council is required to abate a risk itself, the costs of that abatement process go back on the landowner.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Answer all your questions?
Yes, it does. I think, look, I think this is a good way forward. We moved a notice of motion about this in October 2015, it turns out, and we unanimously supported it, and I think we all talked at that time about, we had a workshop and we talked about not only what our legislative responsibilities were in this space, but also in one way or other we talked about our sort of moral and ethical obligations in terms of ensuring that Kingborough was bushfire ready. And I'm much more comfortable with this policy than I was with the previous policy, and I think having a more relaxed, as Mr. Smees described it, policy gives our officers the flexibility to deal with issues on a case-by-case basis, but also in order of priority, which is really good. Also just wanted to mention on the record, Julian Punch has been talking about this, to me at least, for 3 years, and I haven't been in touch with him, but I'm sure he's probably not aware of this, but I'm sure he'd be delighted with our policy in the broadening of council's policy to allow it to do more work in rural areas like Longley, for example. So I'm really pleased with this change of policy.
Thank you, Councillor Winner. Further speakers? If not, I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Reid, that Council rescind its existing fire hazard abatement policy for vacant land in residential areas and approve the attached fire hazard abatement policy 4.7. I'll ask you to vote. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It's carried unanimously. The next item is on page 108, a visit by Gritigas councillors and staff, and a recommendation on page 109.
Move the matter be discussed.
Do I have a second to the matter be discussed? Councillor Winter. I'll put that the matter be discussed. Moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Winter. Those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? It's carried. Councillor Chadden.
The reason I've asked for this, Mayor, is that in the report, you say you're going to have a civic reception for Gritigas, which I have no problem with. But I didn't think the civic reception would perhaps go over 2 days, and I just wondered, they're arriving here on the Sunday. A council meeting is normally on the Monday. We're going to move... I'm only saying this because December is very busy for everybody. You know, we've all got things on, and I know Councillor Reit mentioned, you know, we've got leavers, dinners and all sorts of things coming up in December. And I just wondered why we need to move 2 days. I just wondered when you're going to have your civic reception. If you're going to have it Tuesday, well, why not have your council meeting on the Monday? If you're going to have it Monday, why can't we have the council meeting on the Tuesday? I just wonder why we're leaving it 2 days. That's where I'm starting from.
Thank you. I guess from my perspective, it gives us an opportunity to talk with them and to what they wish to do. And I know Councillor Fox, through the Dutch Australian Society, is also looking at whether they can work something out. And also there was an offer by the state government some time ago, which I'm not sure whether that does or does not carry forward. They arrive on the Sunday evening. I do not know at this stage what time, and certainly from tomorrow there will be an email, regardless of our decision, as to when are their arrival times. But I do know that they fly out Wednesday morning on the first flight, so that is a 6 o'clock flight out of Hobart. My thoughts could have been that, you know, subject to councillor's approval, what we want to do, we could have it as a 4 o'clock to a 6 o'clock type of thing on a Monday night, for argument's sake. So it just gave us a little bit of flexibility, and obviously to what other councillors had in mind and what they would like to see, it gave us a bit of a scope, if you like, to work in with them as to what might suit them best.
Do we need to make a decision tonight on this date, bearing in mind that you haven't yet discussed things with them? Is it something we really should be doing once you've got some sort of timetable in place?
Trying to get a timetable from them has been very difficult. They've just opened up. I think they fly from there to Norway direct to Singapore, which started with Singapore Airlines only in the last week or two. So they've been waiting for that. I think also New Zealand has changed their times also, so that's impacted upon them. But I guess from my perspective, I'd like to see us be able to offer various things, come back to council, report that, and if council then agrees with a particular program, we go along with that program, so it would give us a little bit more flexibility. But again, it's what council decides.
I mean, as far as that Wednesday is concerned, I'm already committed for that night. I mean, I can't change these other plans, and we're moving council two nights, and that's why I'm asking the questions. I mean, others may be busy, they may not be, but we're all busy right through December, so that's the only reason I'm asking these questions, to try and see. And if it is possible, maybe we defer it until such time as you've got more information. If you say you may have it tomorrow, that's fantastic.
I won't get it tomorrow. I'll respond to them tomorrow again, but I won't get a response back the earliest it wouldn't be until Wednesday, but it may not be for 2 or 3 days.
Well, I'm happy to hear whatever the councillors have to say.
Councillor Berry?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to defer the decision until we know what the program is. I don't think it's going to affect perhaps general management, or it's going to interfere with any arrangements.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Berry, it wouldn't be of concern if council deferred it tonight. We could bring the report back to the next council meeting with more definitive information from the delegation as it arrives.
Well, I would support that. I'm quite happy to move that the matter be deferred to the next council meeting.
Just before you do that, I'll just take Councillor Fox. She was trying to light up, or did light up a light first.
Oh, this machine seems to have lost a foot, but never mind. I'm quite happy to defer the matter, but I do feel that it's easier to plan something to decide what we can do with them when we know which nights would be available and which days would be available. I was speaking with Minister Hiddink today, and he would be quite happy to host them for an afternoon tea or something like that as a Dutch minister in Tasmania. And I've also had an offer from the Bangor Winery to take them out to the Tasman Monument as a separate adventure, but I think there might be other things in Kingborough that we could plan for, like I don't know, there are just so many things that one would want to show them in 2 days, and it's a shame they've only allowed us the 2 days, but that's the way it is, and it's good that they're coming and all, but I'd really like to be able to present them with a plan and a strong welcome, rather than leave it to them to ask them what they want, because none of them have been to Tasmania before. I think they're looking to they'll be jet lagged. That's the other concern I have, but I think they're looking to us to make them feel welcome and to come up with something spectacular, and to be able to achieve that in 2 days does require a bit of planning. And I think we should commit to at least the reception, but the civic reception. But I feel that maybe if we could miss out a council meeting, maybe that would also be worth considering if a particular councillor or some can't make it. But maybe we should come up with a better plan rather than planning around a firm date. But my preference would have been to actually say yes, the reception will be on such and such a day, and then work around that rather than waiting for more information, which really is not really going to be very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Weston.
I just want to ask a question that perhaps Councillor Fox knows. Are they flying to Australia just for 2 days?
They're flying to us for 2 days.
So, but they're coming directly.
They're coming
to us.
Direct from Holland to Sydney on a direct flight, and then they're coming straight from Sydney to Tasmania on, I think, Sunday night.
And then
on the Wednesday night, early Wednesday morning, and they're catching the red eye special to New Zealand.
Right.
Councillor Berry, you were going to move a deferment.
If Councillor Berry's moved it, I'll second it. I think Councillor Berry has moved a deferral, haven't you? Yes.
We just need the wording that the item be deferred. That's all we need. And a second by Councillor Chadden.
We'll bring it back to the next week.
I'll put that motion, moved by Councillor Berry, seconded by Councillor Chadden, that the report be deferred until the next council meeting. Councillors in favour? Those against? It's carried unanimously. On page 110 is the information reports. We have just deferred the item. Good. So, information reports. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder. We've got five reports. Thank you, Councillor Reid. Thank you, Councillor Fox. The first item is the General Manager's Diary from the 5th of September to the 2nd of October 2017. Any questions to the General Manager? Councillor Percy.
29th of September, I'd just like to know any outcomes of that would be interest to us.
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. A couple of matters that may be of interest to council. The meeting was also attended by Joseph Cromie, Peter Critz from the JAC Group. Joseph advised that they have sold in excess of 100 lots in Spring Farm. The main topic of discussion was around the staging of the remaining stages of that subdivision. And he was indicating that they were giving serious consideration to bringing forth their timetable and actually doing two stages at a time. Mm-hmm. Such is the pent-up demand that they were describing. The other thing that may be of interest to council is that he advised or confirmed in my case that he was now a 50% shareholder in the adjoining Whitewater Farm subdivision as well.
Hmm.
So his interest and property acquisitions in Kingborough continue to grow.
Councillor Reid?
A couple of questions. 18th of September, the meeting with Chris Bowen and Madeline Ogilvie. There's a reference there to a Helen Pooley. I assume that's Helen Polly, as in Senator Helen Polly?
She is Helen Polly. Through you, Mr. Veer, yes, correct.
Yeah, okay.
That is a Freudian slip.
Yep. And I was just interested in, on the 20th of September, what's the not-for-profit governance and performance study update?
Mr. Allen?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Reid, one of the things that I personally do as part of my ongoing professional development is to engage through the Australian Institute of Company Directors to get myself acquainted with what's happening with the rest of the world outside of the local government sector per se. That was a forum that was run by the Australian Institute of Company Directors. It's a study that's funded essentially by the Commonwealth Bank of Australia, but it's undertaken by the Australian Institute of Company Directors, and I'd be happy to provide any council that's interested with a copy of the documentation.
Well,
it's a good read.
As somebody who in her other work life works for not-for-profit, I find it interesting, so I'd love to have a copy. And just a question, 21st September, Mr. Ross Hinckley to discuss Service Tasmania.
Mr. Arnold?
Through Mr. Mayor, Councillor Reid, Council, as you will recall, that it wasn't all that long back that there was the potential threat to the ongoing provision of certain services in Kingborough. Following that averted crisis, on behalf of Council, I've taken it upon myself to hold regular meetings with Ross, who is the senior bureaucrat who looks after the current provision of the Medicare service through Service Tasmania. I continue to take the opportunity to remind him and therefore the state government and federal government that with the construction at Kingston Park in terms of the provision of infrastructure about to commence, they should be keeping a firm eye on Kingborough and a firm presence.
Councillor Winter?
Yeah, the STCA, we're still paying a pretty large membership. I think it's in the order of about 20,000 a year. Doesn't appear to have a full-time officer anymore. What's your view on the future of the STCA and its role and size, and can we expect to see a reduced membership anytime soon?
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. In fact, Councillor Winter, it's a very timely question. I'll take the last part of your question first. Currently, Council will experience a reduction in the membership for this financial year. Once I get firm figures on that, I'll be able to report that back to Council. In terms of its ongoing value, that's probably a matter that's best addressed by the relevant councils that are in it. My personal opinion is that it retains a role for advocacy for major projects. It provides a vehicle for this council from time to time to make representation along with our local government colleagues on matters that may be may carry more weight when 12 southern councils and therefore the mayors speak as one voice. But again, in the political space, it's a moving target, as you all know.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Councillors, will move on to 112 onwards, current and previous minute resolutions. Councillor Percy.
I just find out from the General Manager when Council passes a motion to have a report done by Council officers, what's the process that comes back to Council to say how the progress is going with those reports? Allow the Osborne Esplanade one-way traffic report that's going to come to us.
Thank you. Mr. Arnold.
Well, through you, Mr. Mayor. To answer your question, Councillor Percy, my understanding is that report is imminent. I know that my colleague David Reeve corresponded again as late as this afternoon with the, I believe, president of the Kingston Beach Community Association on that very matter, and indicated that a report was imminent and would be presented to council. I'd expect that to come back to council within the next few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, that was an example. I'm just wondering what the process is that, so we know what progress are to these reports generally. Do you put forward a report similar to this, or we just get them when we get them?
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. No, the purpose of the minute resolutions on the agenda is to provide the answer to that very question, Councillor Percy, to give an anticipated date of completion, and if that varies, to indicate why that's varied, so that's on the public record.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I just had a question about the first item, the Tassau Community Advisory Groups. And it refers to Minute C460/20-17. Now, the motion that was passed at that meeting said that Council defer any decision about participating in the Tassau Community Advisory Group until further information is provided on the purpose and makeup of the group, and two, request a report from staff on ways that Council could coordinate direct dialogue between Tassau and the community members who have concerns about the company's operations in Kingborough through community forums or similar. To be ensured, I guess, that the actions being taken is in line with that motion. The officer's comment here says NRM coordinator to participate in Tassau Community Advisory Group and report to Council on potential to coordinate feedback between the community and Tassau following CAG meeting.
Mr. Arnold?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Atkinson, my understanding is that the council decision for that particular community representative group referred to a report that was put before council by the Manager of Environmental Services, Mr. Doole, which recommended that, along with the NRM coordinator, Liz Quinn, that a councillor representative should participate. And I think the reference there is accurate, as far as I know it, unless I'm missing something, Councillor Atkin.
Okay. Well, the original motion in the report was that councillor nominate councillor ... and the NRM coordinator participate in the TASAL Group Limited Southern Region Community Advisory Group, was the recommendation. Mm. And that we moved to not participate in the group. I would assume that that meant neither the councillor nor the NRM coordinator participated until we knew the makeup of the group and the purpose of the group, which was the motion. That was my interpretation, but that's what I voted on.
Yes, Mr. Arnold?
Well, through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Atkinson, I'll have to take that one on notice and get a detailed response for you.
Thank you. And I guess further to that, that first part of the motion said until further information is provided on the purpose and makeup of the group, and I couldn't see anything in the officer's comment there to say how that information was progressing. So I'll assume we'll take that on notice as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Weeder?
Sorry, I was actually going to ask the same question. So.
Okay. Further questions in relation to current and previous minute resolutions? If not, we'll move on to Kingborough Waste Services bi-monthly report, which starts at page 117. Councillor Percy?
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to congratulate the directors and staff of KWS for the result they had for the year ending June 2017. It's certainly a great effort. Certainly some great initiatives down there too. We've now registered as a mobile muster, which I'm not quite. I haven't seen that in our communication anywhere, so I'm just wondering whether that's been communicated to the general public that this is happening. If not, maybe we can spend a bit of time on that going forward, because that seemed like a good initiative. Also, I'm reading this somewhere also where we now got a positive balance sheet for KWS, so now's probably the chance to pay back some of the loan. I think we've got plenty of funds, cash in the system there. If not, perhaps we could put it into some more capital expenditure for the tip shop down there, because that seems to have been a bit of a windfall for us, the amount that we've sold through there in the last 2 or 3 months. So that's something we could probably look at. Rather than just have the money sitting around, we should be doing something with it. I noticed that the tonnage isn't that for the reuse, I think it is, for the diversion rates, I mean, 22.89%. I'm just wondering, have we got any targets for that? Are we aiming at anything there? So maybe Mr. Reeve could tell us that at some stage. It says that we're having some school visits, which is great, and I think it's good to see the kids getting involved in this reuse. I went to the Art Salvage, I think it was, down at Kingston Beach over the weekend, and that's the amount of schools that were involved in that is great. So obviously that sort of program is getting the young ones involved in thinking about waste, which is great. Also, the future of KWS is now in their hands, which is good, because we're putting their hands behind their back there for a while, because we wouldn't allow them to set the rate that was either marketable or enough to cover costs. So that's good now that we've given them that amount of leeway. I just noticed in the KWS minutes it says there are two meetings of the board will be held out of session to discuss the strategy's impact on KWS, and it's to be held at 20th September at 8:30 and 4th of October. Perhaps one of those directors, maybe Mr. Ferry, could tell us why it needed to be out of session. What was the outcome of that as well? So that's probably the only thing I've got about the finances. Is when they've discussed their variances, I think we made the variance for the whole year was 101,000, but in the variances they only come to, I think, something like 46,000, so there's 50-something thousand there which hadn't been put down as comments. So I'd like to know a bit more about that, because I noticed in the profit and loss there was a variance, I think, a favourable variance, that is, so and we should find out about them as well. I think of admin expenses, because that was quite significant as well, so we just, I think the admin office expenses, quite a bit anyway. So perhaps we can probably just give a bit more comments on some of the other variances that make up the 101,000. As I said, we've only done comments on 46 of it, so. But maybe there's a couple of questions here, if you can remember what they are. Maybe Mr. Reeve can answer them.
Mr. Reeve, you've been nominated.
New Mayor, thank you very much for that nomination. I'll answer what I can out of those bits, and then I might pass over to Tony if he can actually add to any of those bits as well at the same time there. Certainly in terms of the Mobile Muster part of it, agree that's one thing that we do want to communicate through there, so we'll take that on board. With the bit that you mentioned about the reuse targets there, I guess it's been kept reasonably stable over the last few years in terms of that type of percentage that we've actually been able to get through and reuse, and I guess that is based on us actually trying to, I guess, improve how we actually put the things through the shop and what type of items we actually put through the chip shop as well. I guess it's an ongoing type process for us to actually look at continuing to get other smaller gains out of that process. In terms of actually setting the targets of where we want to actually get to, I think it's probably goes a little bit beyond that. I think what we'll be looking at trying to do is setting a whole heap of key performance indicators for KWS in particular, and that would just be one of those type of indicators that we'd be looking at putting down there. The other bit you mentioned about the meetings out of session for KWS, that is directly in response to the information that sits in the draft waste management strategy at the moment about KWS going forward. I guess what sort of role they'll play in the future as well at the same time. And I guess that's a way, I guess, of the board actually discussing that and actually coming out with a position there as well that we can also discuss with council. And that would, our plan for that is to actually bring that forward as part of a further workshop with councillors in November, where we also want to provide another workshop on the draft waste management strategy as well at the same time. So combine those two things together there. In terms of the variances there, maybe Tony might be better placed to actually answer those ones.
Through the chair, I didn't get all the little details that Councillor Percy raised. It might be better if you could forward me a copy of questions, and that way I can then circulate the answers to all councillors. So I'll take the finance questions on notice, because I was struggling to keep up with where you were mentioning it in the documents. So if you could just highlight a couple of variances that you would like more information about, I can provide that information out of session. I think David answered everything else.
Probably about the payback of the loan, whose decision that is.
Yeah, okay. David, you're looking.
Through you, Mayor. We have had some discussions about that in terms of now getting into a more positive situation there and it being a sensible thing to actually look at that payback of the loan as well at the same time. What we do recognise is that it's important for us to have a working buffer to deal with anything that might actually come up, but we should also look at actually trying to repay that loan when we get the opportunity, and clearly at the moment there is some opportunity for that to actually happen.
Answers all your questions, councillors. I think also on Mobile Muster, I think this council is one of the
oldest councils in Tasmania to be involved in mobile muster. I'm not sure when it went out to Beretta, but that obviously was a good move. And I think I read in the Alga News this year that we actually were third in the state in an award for mobile muster, but I could be confused. And if that's the case, it would have been the first award we got. So it has been going for some time, and obviously a good opportunity for people to throw their old phones, knowing that they will go back and be melted down and metals and everything else saved. Okay, no further questions on that. We'll move on to the Infrastructure Works Progress Report, which starts at page 129. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you. I had a question the last item on page 130, whether there was any more information to add about the damage to the trees there. I was interested in that.
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, so this is an issue that's tied up with a particular development. So that's currently being chased up with the developer there with the viewpoint of getting some remediation done to those particular trees there. So there is some follow-up meetings that are actually occurring on this particular matter.
Right, thank you. And I also just wanted to highlight the bottom page 134 about the light replacement of the gymnasium lights and replacing with LEDs. That was good to see. I know that other councils, in particular Hobart, has done a lot of work with replacing lights. I know that there are issues with light intensity for TV cameras and things in parts of the sports centre, but it was good to see that where we can, we're doing some work to reduce our energy consumption.
Councillor Widow.
Yes, I just wanted to say thanks for the new swing at Kingston Beach. Very good. Yes, very
enjoying
good.
Enjoying it, are you?
Yes, I am. It's very good.
I'm enjoying it, actually.
The other one I want to ask, I'm not sure if it fits in with this. Feel free to rule me out of order or just tell me it's the wrong place to ask. But I was down at Snug Beach yesterday, and the pine trees there are dropping like really, really large pine cones that nearly hit me in the head. Is that something we look at or we address, or we consider removing the trees if they become dangerous?
Mr. Reeve?
Through you, Mayor. Look, I'm not aware of that particular issue down there at Snug Beach. I'm also not quite aware of exactly where they're located and whether they're actually sitting within Council's area of responsibility or not. I guess in answer to any particular trees there, we would do, if there was a safety issue that's actually been brought forward about it, we would do an assessment of it. Quite often we'll get an arborist report as well at the same time. It would depend on what type of trees they actually are as well, whether they're trees of some significance. In that case there, they probably aren't if they're pine trees, potentially. So it would depend on a number of different things. So I'd really need to know exactly the type of location and what the actual issue is, and then we would normally just investigate that as a matter of course.
Thank you.
Was that a MacArthur? Sorry, was that a MacArthur? No, there's still a couple there.
They're long ones. The longer pine cones, yeah. Yes, yeah, so I knew that's why I said at the start. Is there the other question just about Snug Beach? Is there any plans to do any upgrade around that beach area, or even a clean up of the vegetation surrounding the beach? There's quite a lot of weeds there, and the whole sort of general area appears to need a bit of a, not a huge a lot of work, but a bit of a makeover before summer. Is that on the agenda at all?
Ms. Duke or Ms. Duke? Yes? No, Ms. Quinn.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks, Councillor Winter. I'm not sure what weeds you're referring to on the foreshore at Snug Beach, but it was Snug Beach, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yep. So Snug Beach is managed both by Council, but also by a very active land care group, the Snug Coast and Land Care Group. And I'd be very surprised if there were any declared weeds along the Snug foreshore, so perhaps you might be referring to exotic grasses or marrow grass, potentially, which is holding the beach together. But I could reassure you that it's very unlikely there are any weed issues.
I'll send an email and you can tell me I'm silly. Just fair enough, it's true.
Councillor Reid.
I'm not sure who might be able to enlighten me about this. That might seem like a strange question, but just note we've got two photos here, one from Old Channel Highway Snug about some rubbish that was dumped there, and then also the rubbish that was dumped near the Lee camp. And I'm just wondering whether, when the rubbish is collected, whether there's anyone goes through it to see whether there's any identifying material in there that could link it to the person who dumped it, because I know that when we revamped the Litter Act in about 2007 that and when we set up the litter hotline, the idea was that when these large dumped portions of rubbish were found, that every attempt would be made to identify potentially who had dumped it there, if there are personal letters and things like that in it. And if it is done, do we then report it to the litter hotline so that the state government can take action?
Mr. Reid. Mr. Smith.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, we do endeavour to identify who the persons responsible may be. We have a case at the moment where we have identified a person and we will be pursuing a prosecution against them.
Thank you.
Thank you. That being the case, we'll move on to page 137 onwards, which is a briefing report, Extinction Matters BioBlitz event in November. Any questions or comments in relation to BioBlitz? Councillor Chadwick?
I'd just like to know a bit more about what this BioBlitz is. I mean, I've read the report, but I'm still a little bit hazy. Some staff might like to enlighten
Ms.
me
Jupe
and others.
Is busting to respond. Thank you, Ms. Jupe.
Through the Mayor, thank you for your question, Councillor. I'm finding the BioBlitz extremely difficult to articulate in a short phrase. Basically, it is inviting a bunch of people to a place of natural beauty, and giving people the opportunity to meet and work with practicing scientists whilst learning about how to enjoy an area of natural values in a slightly different way and learn a lot more about ecology and the environment and what lives in that section. I think it gives this platform's giving us as council a real opportunity just to promote our area as somewhere significant. And it's also an acknowledgement that our community here is so very active when it comes to not just organised environmental care like land care groups, but just we have a very active community, both from participation in events to caring for others in the community to being out and about in our area. So it's a reflection on the fact that this community is really engaged already. And it's giving them a really interesting opportunity, one that you don't normally get, which is to work alongside those scientists. The schools were fully booked within 48 hours of us putting this open to the schools, which I think shows how eager people are to participate. And I'm expecting quite a number on the Saturday as well, on Friday night.
Thank you, Ms. Stewart. Any further questions or comments? If not, we'll go back to page 110. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Fox, that the following information reports be noted. 1. General Manager's Diary. 2. Current and previous minute resolutions. 3. Kingborough Waste Services bi-monthly report. 4. Infrastructure Works Progress Report. And 5. The briefing report, Extinction Matters BioBlitz event. I'll ask councillors to vote. Those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? That is carried unanimously. We'll move on to page 139, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. Mover and seconder, please. Thank you, Councillor Atkinson, and thank you, Councillor Berry. That in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, the following items to be dealt with in closed session. Applications for leave of absence, subdivision appeal, 65 Roslyn Avenue, Kingston Beach, Kingborough Waste Services Board appointment and current and previous minute resolutions. I'll put that to the vote and ask councillors to say aye, who's in favour. And those against? It's carried unanimously. have a mover and seconder in relation to closed session. Thank you, Councillor Reid. Thank you, Councillor Chadden. And in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, the Council moves into closed session. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, it is carried unanimously. And in accordance with the Kingborough Council Meeting Audio Recording Guidelines Policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease.